It's Central Time. I'm Cynthia Schuster, filling in for Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk about some common verbal phrases that we like to fall back on, like, I hate to be the one to tell you this, but... And we'll find out what we're really saying when we use them.
First, Wisconsin's Department of Natural Resources is proposing adding nearly 200 waterways to a list of those that don't meet water quality standards, with excessive levels of phosphorus being the main culprit.
The list already contains more than 700 bodies of water in the state. And while the DNR says most waterways are improving over the long term, getting a body of water off of that list is easier said than done.
Joining us now is Aaron Larson, Water Resources Management Specialist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Aaron, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you. It's good to be here.
How does a waterway find itself on this list in the first place? What are some of the criteria that are being considered?
So assessing water bodies against water quality standards is part of this overarching process that we conduct as part of the Federal Clean Water Act. The Clean Water Act gives us authority to adopt water quality criteria. They range from chemical parameters, things like phosphorus, for example, ammonia, other toxic pollutants. And we also measure other indicators like indicators of stream health, like biology, things like fish or invertebrates that are, that occur in the streams and lakes.
High levels of phosphorus have been a major culprit here, according to some reports. What is to account for these high levels?
The source of phosphorus varies across the state. Phosphorus is a naturally occurring element, so it can come from just from the soils naturally, but there are human induced sources as well, things like urban runoff. So when it rains, the rainwater carries with it soil that's eroded from the landscape, and that has attached to it phosphorus. And so anytime it rains, we can get runoff that's delivered to our water bodies that can elevate the concentrations of phosphorus in the water.
And what about fertilizers?
Fertilizers, yeah, those are another human source. We apply fertilizers to farmlands to increase their productivity. Excess fertilizers can also run off during those rain events and end up into our waterways.
Are there other common pollutants that you're seeing showing up in our waterways?
The most common of the standards that we've assessed, phosphorus is the predominant one. Of the total number of listings that we're proposing for new water bodies to the list, 137 of them are water bodies that exceed the phosphorus criteria. That I should mention too that part of the reason that is that we are targeting specific water bodies that we suspect to be impaired for phosphorus. So we may have some indication based on preliminary data or professional judgment of the field staff that there are problems at those water bodies. We follow up with additional monitoring to identify the extent of the pollution.
Are you seeing more concentration of that type of pollution in certain geographic areas around the state, or is it fairly equal throughout the state? What are you seeing out there?
We really haven't done an analysis of the geographic distribution of these newly impaired waters. We have them throughout the state. We're finding these new listings throughout the state.
So give us some examples of some of the major waterways that made the list on your recommendation this year.
Some of them, trying to think if there are major, I can't think of any major waterways that were added off the top of my head, but we do have, if you tune into our website, if you go to our DNR's main homepage and you type in the word impaired waters in the search tool, what you can get is we have a search tool available where you can actually type in the name of a water body and determine if it's listed on our impaired waters list. So we do have these search options available on our website, people can look at the larger list of impaired waters and see if any water body nearby is included on that list.
Help us understand what this means for us in our everyday life. To what extent does a polluted waterway affect, for example, the water that we drink?
Well, next steps in terms of impaired waters, again, these are for surface waters. This list applies to streams and lakes, the surface water of the state. What the next step is in terms of management actions is essentially to come up with a restoration plan. So for each impaired water, we work with local partners to develop a restoration plan to identify what the sources are of the pollution, and then to develop a way to achieve the needed reductions for that water body to meet water quality standards.
You highlight that impaired waters every 2 years, that you're measuring this as part of the Federal Clean Water Act, and the law requires states to prioritize problem bodies of water and establish plans to get them into compliance. What does that usually entail, and who's responsible for making that happen?
The plans are typically, there are partnerships, as I mentioned, with local groups, but DNR is the agency responsible for developing these plans. They're referred to as total maximum daily loads. TMDL is the acronym. Essentially, those plans are what sets the allocations to each source in a drainage area, an area that drains to an impaired water body. We set up a list of all the sources and then assign those allocations to what's needed to meet the water quality standards. So, yeah, again, DNR works with partners to develop those, but we have the responsibility to develop those and then to submit those to EPA for approval.
The DNR has said that 75% of the water that that they monitor, that you monitor, is showing signs of long-term improvement. What accounts for that?
We have a number of programs that are in place that have helped to achieve water quality standards across the state. The 75% of the water bodies are those that we've looked at in this last couple of years and found that roughly 75% do meet water quality standards, which is a great success, I think, to have that level of water quality in the state. We have a number of programs, working with producers, farmers, municipalities to address non-point sources of pollution. That's, like I mentioned earlier, sources like runoff when it rains. We have programs in place to address those sources, as well as to point sources, like discharging, wastewater into streams and lakes. So those are permitted through our permitting program. And so we have, a combination of programs that are available, as well as funding opportunities, too, for people to receive funding to help implement some of these management practices.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Sure. That was Aaron Larson, Water Resources Management Specialist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, talking about a new report on water pollution in the state.